Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain, himself alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Three crowns each Lent are offered our Lord. He takes only the third. On the first Sunday, after Jesus had fasted, he was hungry, and Satan offered him a crown, the kingship of the world, if he would fall down and adore. My kingdom is not of this world, he would tell Pilate, when the day would come for the only coronation he would accept. Today, the fourth Sunday, he fed them, the multitudes, and satisfied their hunger. This was the kind of king they wanted, a bread king, social gospel, see to their stomachs as he had earlier seen to their sick. The masses tried to force him to become king. Loaves and fishes, the check is in the mail each month for the sake of social security. They would take the Savior. This is what Satan wanted. Full stomachs, big stones, bread, promise, prosperity. For this, most mortals live. And so, their thanksgiving after receiving was to push Christ towards a throne. But he would not be pushed. He would be lifted up. And the throne would be the cross, his kingship over hearts, not hunger. And so our Lord, knowing what was in the hearts of men, fled again into the mountain, himself alone. And lest his apostles should be tempted to cash in on the cheap popularity, he puts them on a boat for Capernaum and sends them right into a storm. He would join them later in the night, walking over the waves. But they only cry out in fear. For they too, St. Mark explains, understood not concerning the loaves. For their heart was blinded. They didn't see, not at all, not yet. But how could people think they could make Christ king? He was born a king. The wise men knew this. Where is he that is born king of the Jews, that we may come and adore him? His kingship would come to this earth through the divine imperative of the cross, not through popular force. They could keep their tinsel crown and the tin scepter. No unclean hands would put a crown on his head except the crown of thorns. It is finally on Good Friday that Jesus is crowned. The soldiers plaited the thorn after they scourged him, cursing when it pierced their flesh. But how they sneered when the thorn crown pierced Christ's brow. And all of this, remember, is made present today. Not just to your imagination in preaching, or in a picture you might see, or a statue, or the decades you meditate on today in your rosary as best you may, or even a film you could and you should see the passion again, this Lent with profit. But all of this is made present now and here in the Mass and in the consecration most of all. Our Lord anticipates today in the Gospel the gestures of the priest, then, and his own gestures as high priest at the first Mass, the Last Supper. St. Mark makes it clear. And he took the loaves and looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And they did eat and were filled. Even the rubric for afterwards, the rubric we have of the ablutions after communion, is anticipated. Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. Thus, the priest puts away in the tabernacle or consumes the remaining hosts, and the fragments, the particles, are preciously caught on the server's paten and gathered into the chalice and consumed. And that's what the scraping and the tapping and the dusting is about. Because if you can see a particle of a consecrated host, you can see the Lord. Now, in the new church, they don't do that. They don't believe that. How could it be then, the same faith, how could that be Christ's church? Never go to the Novus Ordo. It is a blasphemy and a sacrilege staring you in the face. And never entertain the ideas of those that we should cozy up again to the new religion and to their hierarchy. That's just more of the same. It's so simple, a child could see it. And so he fed them. He fed them in their thousands. They were traveling to Jerusalem for the Pasch, the Passover. And he fed them, starting with what they had. One boy provided the offertory, 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. That's how miracles generally work. Nature goes as far as it could. God takes care of the rest. Our communion hosts are baked in Illinois, I think. And the priest's hosts come from Holland. We offer them to be consecrated, as once St. Andrew took up the collection from that lad whose mother had packed him a good lunch. In today's gospel, Jesus feeds the Jews with perishable bread. The next day, it would begin to grow stale. But he introduces the bread of life to them. And this to lift up their earthly minds to eternal food, to seek that heavenly bread the Father had sent. You know, in the old days, Oriental bread often bore the official mark of the baker. His seal was affixed upon it, as our hosts have a crucifix stamped on them. Our Lord was implying here that the bread they should go after was the loaf with God's stamp of approval and authorship, his Son, the bread of life. Everything in nature must eat to live. It's a kind of communion, if you think of it, says Bishop Sheen. Through it, what is lower is transformed into what is higher. Molecules into the herbs of the earth, the plants, plants into animals, and animals into man. But why should it stop there? Should not we be lifted up by communion with the crucified Christ, whose cross seals the sacred host, and made partaker of the divine nature man into God. As he lives by the Father, says the mediator of God and man, so must we live by him. He that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. But how carnal were those loaves and fishes, and how spiritual is the eating of Christ's flesh. The loaves and fishes only pointed, only symbolized something far, far greater. Did any of you remember, as Father McGuire sang the epistle, that today is the original Mother's Day, and that in England still today it's known as Mothering Sunday, and this, how liturgical, is simply because of the epistle. That Jerusalem which is above, says St. Paul, is our mother. Now, every mother could say to a baby at her breast, eat, this is my body, this is my blood. But the comparison ends there. For mother and child are both human persons, but Christ is God. The difference is that between heaven and earth, infinite. A mother glories in being the natural nourishment of her offspring, one more beautiful part of God's plan. Why sully or supplant? But in God's plan as well, his son had to die, thus to enter into glory, so that he might give himself to us the bread of life, the plants, the animals which nourish us, live with us on the same earth and within reach. If Christ be the life of the world, he must be tabernacled among our tents, dwell with us as Emmanuel, God with us. And so he is, and so he does, supplying life for the soul as earthly bread does for the body. In the Our Father, we pray for our daily bread, and in its most profound meaning for a Catholic is frequent Mass and communion daily, if possible. For this heavenly food opens the gates of paradise, closed to us by original sin. As man spiritually died by physically eating the forbidden fruit in Eden's garden, so he would live again spiritually by physically eating of the glorified flesh of God's Son, the true fruit of the tree of the cross, the tree of life. Adam was king of creation, but lost his crown by the death of sin, and thereafter ate his bread in the sweat of his brow. Jesus, the new Adam, wore a crown of thorn, which the cursed earth brought forth. And he went to die for sin, to win for us an imperishable crown, to be for us the bread of life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.